Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm Dan Ayersman, your host for this week's show. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. Don't forget, you can find the show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. Today we will be talking about the Mad River Community Hospital's food program and vegetable garden. Our guests are Todd Hustis, manager of the hospital's food and nutrition department, and Isaiah Webb, the hospital's full-time farmer. Thanks to both of you for being here on the Eco News.
Thank you.
First off, I just wanted to jump right in there, and Todd, maybe you could start by telling the listeners a little bit about the history of the hospital's garden and the food program that you work with.
So 3 years ago, this whole thing started in a green committee. A presentation was made to the CEO of a number of suggestions coming out of that committee, one of which was to start a garden on the hospital grounds. From that, he loved that idea. Next thing I got was a call going, Todd, he said yes. How do we do this? What do we do now? And the whole thing started to grow from there. I then got on the phone with a friend who I've worked with when I worked at the school districts, Melanie Patrick from CAF, Community Alliance Family Farmers. Within 72 hours, she actually had a business plan sitting on my desk from a couple of local farmers. So the initial thought was we would contract out with local farmers to farm the grounds that we had, providing the hospital with the produce. We ultimately came to the conclusion that we would hire one of our local organic farmers and give a benefited job, paid time off, sick leave, all of that kind of stuff, 40-hour-a-week job, and in came Isaiah.
And that's been going on ever since. And Isaiah, you came on a couple of years ago. And what is your background and how much experience do you have with farming and how has that changed or has that shifted with your job here?
Before moving to Humboldt County, I was living in Madison, Wisconsin, and getting more interested in food and local food. And I decided to intern at a local CSA farm in Madison and spent an entire season at that farm, as well as working part-time here and there for a few different various farms in the Madison area. Then relocated here to Humboldt County, immediately showed up, went to Farmer's Market and said, hey, I'm interested in a farming job, and worked for a few different farms locally before kind of settling in working with John Gary at G Farm. Now it's called Organic Matters Ranch. And worked for him for two seasons, as well as a couple other local farmers, just gaining experience. So altogether, like, I had about three seasons of farming experience before I took on the job at the hospital.
And how is that different from the other farms that you've experienced?
There's a lot of ways in which it's different. I mean, for me, it's different because it's the first time I've actually been in charge, making all the day-to-day decisions as to how the farm's going to operate. So that my experience has been different. The farm also is different in that it's a unique model. It's the only farm I've ever worked for where our only customer is the hospital. So everything we grow goes to the hospital. So I don't have to spend time thinking about marketing or thinking about where I'm going to sell the produce that I'm able to grow or if I'm going to be able to sell it. I just need to work on good communication with the hospital and making sure that I'm growing the amounts that they need and making sure I'm letting them know when I have things ready. And so just that so many ways it's different than a typical farm, but that would be the main difference is just you have one customer that you're focused on making sure that they're happy.
Well, that seems really freeing. And going back to the hospital's program, how did this come about in terms of the land that's allotted for the farming at this point?
So the hospital has significant land that surrounds the building there owned by the corporation that owns the hospital. We were free to use that. There's actually horses that are on a number of the other pastures out there, rotating around just trying to best manage those pastures. So for us being out there, it's beneficial use of the land, and actually what is the zoned use of the land at this point is supposed to be partial agricultural.
Well, that's great. How many acres are under production, or how much land is under production?
2 acres at this point.
Uh-huh. And how much of that is greenhouse versus open?
Well, we have 4,000 square foot of greenhouse right there about. We have about an acre and a half that's fenced in. This year, we decided to go outside of that fenced in area, grew a pumpkin patch, and gave a bunch of pumpkins away to hospital employees. We had a lot of fun with that one. So
nice. That's great. So going a couple months ago, I guess last March, I had the pleasure of seeing you guys running around with capes on as part of the Humboldt Healthy Heroes. And I wanted to, maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit more about that. And I think it's a really neat program just to show the community members what people are doing out in the community and how we can move forward and being healthy in our own lives and promote a healthier environment as well.
Yeah, that was really a lot of fun. Humboldt Can has developed a program where they're trying to recognize the healthy how individuals or corporations are trying to bring health into the workplace. And so we were approached, both Isaiah and I, as Humboldt County Healthy Heroes, and sort of been, kind of the poster child here lately. They've got us going, doing more things right now. We're working on a digital storytelling workshop so we can have a YouTube video. We went to that just last week. But so we went to, it was the Fortuna Grange or the Ronerville Grange, and we were actually caped, and we had to beat up the soda, and it was it the TV?
Yes.
Something like that. It was pretty entertaining. And then there were a number of workshops at that program talking about, well, we were sharing how we've changed policy at the hospital and other folks sharing how they've changed various different policies. Trying to think of some of them. I was more focused on the presentations I made.
Well, that's great. I, looking back, just you mentioned changing the policies in the hospital and going back to pre-hospital garden. What was the food like and what is it like now?
So I've, in the progression of my food service experience, I've more and more wanted to work with local vendors and the local farmers. And I guess when I first started at the hospital about 10 years ago, we served a casserole every day and Cisco ruled the world. You know, I actually left the hospital and went and worked for the school districts for a while and was working with some of the local farmers trying to bring in local fruits, local vegetables, things like that. When I came back to the hospital, it was the same thing. I was trying to go out to the farm. I worked with John Severns, and we actually, at Little River Farms, actually went out to the farm, did a farm tour, negotiated a contract where we were buying a product that he didn't have and that's a good market for, trying to do the best we can to work with those farmers and also maintain our costs because he was selling high-end salad greens, couldn't afford the $6 a pound, $7 a pound, but so we were able to find a deal along those lines. But it's been a matter of just continually pushing towards more of a local purchases and trying to keep the money that's coming into the hospital as local as we can. So it has dramatically changed the food in the cafe, dramatically changed the food that goes to the patients. We are serving things that I actually never thought was possible to serve in a kitchen on a mass scale that people would eat.
Like what?
I never thought we could serve a raw kale salad and people would eat it.
Uh-huh.
And they do. We've served enchilada casserole that is winter squash and was it spinach or kale, something like that? Chard and kale. And just people love it.
And that's awesome.
It's been fun to just push the envelope, and we just keep trying new foods and parsnips. Okay, so that's not your mainstream vegetable. That's not something I would ever buy or I think even know where to buy, but we've been serving parsnips. We serve more beets than, and this is not the salad beets, these are roasted beets. Never served that in a restaurant before or in any kind of food service. So really being able to take what we have and work with it. And we're at this point, we're on a seasonal level. So I walk out in the greenhouse right now and I look out there and there's 600 pounds of winter squash sitting there. And so what are we serving every week? Mm-hmm. We're serving winter squash. Mm-hmm. A couple months ago, I remember sitting down at a menu meeting and going, all right, let's see how we can get tomatoes in every single meal.
Well, I wanted to go to Isaiah and just check in how much. What are the changes in production throughout the year as far as the different vegetables, and what do you aim to incorporate into the menu at the hospital?
Yeah, my goal is just to grow, you know, to try to find the happy medium between growing what will grow well in our environment here and what they will want to serve at the hospital, and always kind of pushing the boundary to get them to try new things. I know when I first started, Todd gave me a list and said, here are the things we serve, like we're currently ordering from Cisco that we typically serve, and here's about the amounts that we serve per week. And there was definitely things that weren't on that list when I first started that we serve regularly. Beets being a very good example. He said, we might have the canned beets on the salad bar, but we don't really serve beets. I don't think people will like beets that much. And then I kind of took that and thought, okay, well, I'll grow a few beets anyway. Then we serve them and people love them. And so over time we found, you know, we're refining what people will accept, what people do like, some foods that people assume that they didn't like because maybe they ate a lot of Brussels sprouts when they were kids that were overcooked and didn't have a lot of flavor, you know, and trying to serve some things that people would think they didn't like or say they didn't like. So always trying to, you know, kind of do some unusual things like some kohlrabi or some celeriac or the parsnips. But really also the main focus would be of growing a lot of things that people know well and like broccoli and lettuce, cabbage and carrots.
And what has the response been from both the hospital administration as well as from the folks that are eating this hospital food?
So the response has been overwhelming. The support from administration has been huge. Just want to keep it going, keep it going. In fact, Doug, who's the CEO, told me the other day, he said, that's just my baby out there. Just love it. We take docs out there when we're trying to recruit them and show them the farm, and they're amazed with it. It's the response from the staff has been equally as huge. The morale revolving around this garden that we have out there and the fact that we grow our own produce and we're one of the only places nationwide that does this. They take pride in their hospital because of it. I'll walk through the cafe and see them in line standing next to a visitor, and the visitor's looking over the counter going, you know, what is that? And the person next to him is, you know, a nurse, you know, out in the med-surg floor or whatever, will start telling them, well, yeah, those are beets, and we grow those out in the garden that we have out back, and most of our produce that we serve. And I'm just going, wow, this is great. It's really been huge, the response that we've gotten.
That's great.
And I know from my personal experience, especially during tomato season, I get compliments or people thanking me almost every single day, talking about how much they love eating the food there. You know, the salad bar is well loved. People come from outside of the hospital to eat the salad bar, and just you know, I'm continually getting employees who are just very happy and just, you know, can't help but share and tell me thank you, and they're glad I'm part of the hospital growing fresh food.
And for that matter, you know, they love Isaiah and the work that he does so much that of the 500 plus employees, they've nominated him as Employee of the Month.
Congrats.
So, thanks.
Yeah, it's been a huge response.
That's awesome. I wanted to talk a little bit about the WorkShare program for the hospital employees. And as I understand it, the volunteer and they can receive a share of those of the produce at the end of the season. Is that?
Well, what it is, I had interned at a CSA farm. For people that don't know, that's community supported agriculture, a farm where you're a shareholder, you pay up front at the beginning of the season, and then you receive a box of whatever produce is in season throughout the year. And I kind of thought that I would model my volunteer program after a worker share program. So for folks at a farm, a CSA type farm, they can't afford to buy a share. They can come in and do work in order to earn a share of produce each week. So I kind of thought that my volunteers would be modeled after that. For a variety of reasons, it didn't work out quite right. I wasn't already putting together boxes. I was just harvesting things as needed for the kitchen. So what I decided to do is just adjust it. And just so now it originally was hospital employees only. Now we also welcome people from the community who are interested in becoming part are welcome to come out and volunteer. And I just kind of ask for people to be, you know, that are interested to try to have some regularity and try to come at maybe the same day every week, and ideally commit to a 4 hours is kind of what my ideal would be. But if people can't come that often, you know, I'm kind of willing to take as much help as I can get. And I just tell people the more regular you are, the more commitment you give me, the more commitment I'll give you. And I'll make sure you can have a variety of tasks that you do when you show up instead of just sticking you with weeding. If you showed up once or twice over the summer, then, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time teaching you how to do things. But for my regular volunteers, I love to, you know, it's definitely worth investing, teaching them how to do a variety of tasks and then also sharing with them the bounty. I mean, we usually always have a little bit extra of almost everything we have. So just allowing them to take home a share of the produce.
That's awesome. And it seems to really foster that education as well as getting people into the earth and being able to learn what the vegetables are and actually contribute to putting food into the hospital and hospital food. I mean, as we all know, throughout the states, most hospital food is borderline edible. And it's really cool to see people having a hand in that process.
Well, you know, we're a healing place, and food can be healing or can be detrimental. And I think a lot of places serve detrimental food.
Exactly.
One of my philosophies is to eat personally, but and to serve as healing foods.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
That's cool. You are listening to the Eco News Report. This is Dan Ayersman. Our guests here today are Todd Hustis and Isaiah Webb with the Mad River Community Hospital's Vegetable Garden.
So I would like to share a story about some volunteers that we did have this summer.
Great.
So this summer we had a couple of Girl Scout troops from Arcata and from McKinleyville who came out to the farm. They were working on their Bronze Award, which is a community service badge that they earn when they're making a step from a junior to a cadet. So my daughter's one of these Girl Scouts, and I've been fairly involved with the Girl Scout troop, and they were looking for a project. I'm like, well, let's come out and let's work on the farm and do some work out there. And what we ended up coming to is that they came out and they planted. We did a starts program this year where Isaiah grew a bunch of starts, and we sold them to hospital staff as, you know, they were looking for starts for their own garden. And so we had a bunch left over. And so the Girl Scouts came out, and they planted all of those starts, which equated to about 400 row feet, something like that, 200 row feet maybe it was?
I think 200.
And what they were doing then is they would come out each Monday and they would plant, then they watered and they weeded. They went through the whole process of raising the produce. Then harvest time came and we had a Food for People program. Jason Whitley from Food for People come out and he harvested with the girls, and then they donated all of this produce down to Food for People. We then, all the Girl Scouts went down there and processed the produce down there. So it was a neat project for these girls to really see where the food's coming from and then what they can do to help support their community.
Right, exactly.
So that was a fun project that we had.
That's awesome. Going back to the benefits within the community and the benefits of local agriculture, maybe either one of you could talk about the importance of preservation of agricultural lands and just the movement towards more local agriculture.
So let's see. Personally, I feel like food grown on mass production farms using mass production methods is not producing the best food for us to eat. Then when they say the average food travels 1,500 miles to your plate, oftentimes will go through five different manufacturing hands before it actually hits your plate. We're in this world where we're constantly hearing about foodborne illnesses. I read about it at least once a month in the newspaper at this point. I feel as though if we can start to minimize the mass production, we can start to minimize the number of hands that this product goes through, then ultimately we have a healthier, fresher food that's leaving less of a, here's the cliche term, less of a carbon footprint, but it truly is. And I think that that's a step that we need to take nationwide, worldwide, to start changing the damage that we've done to our planet. So I feel like we're just a very small little step here, and that's what we can do is just act where we're at and try and make the right choices.
That's right.
Fan, answer your question there.
Okay. That's great.
What can I add to that? And I know that our situation at the hospital is unique, that they happen to already own additional land besides what the hospital is currently sitting on. And by chance, it happened to be prime ag land. It's had really good soil. And so, you know, it's a unique situation. Not any hospital is just going to have extra land right on campus that's suitable for growing food. But I think there are, you know, as urban agriculture is a growing trend, I think there are a lot of opportunities for institutions or restaurants, residents, people to grow food in an urban setting. Or, you know, farms don't have to just exist in rural areas and the farm, then the food trucked in. And, you know, the smaller a farm is, the more it's able to just fit into a small space and be in possibly a vacant lot, or people tearing up their yards, their lawns in order to grow their own food. Or, you know, there's even, you know, innovative things going on in Chicago where they just truck in compost and turn an empty lot, even with concrete, into a place where you can grow food. And I think there's, you know, thinking outside of the box, there's a lot of potential to do a lot more urban agriculture. And again, the hospital had a unique situation where it was a pretty easy startup. But I think if people see the model that we're doing and think, oh, we can't do that here, though, because we're in the city where we don't already have land, you know, I think that there are ways to, if not grow all of your own food, at least still be able to grow some of your own food.
Right. And looking back, and not very long ago in the history of the United States, in the 50s, I mean, lots of households had their own backyard gardens, and food production was very localized. And it's great to see the movement back into that, in that direction. I was wondering about other hospitals around the states, if other folks are moving more in this direction of utilizing locally produced produce.
There is a trend in all food services towards more local foods. In the food service publications that I get, and I get, you know, they like to give me them constantly, and 2 and 3 copies of them, they want to talk, they talk about constantly that there is this move, you know, such and such a hospital is now working with these farms, and such a school is now tapping into their own agricultural program and having them grow produce for their food services. I have yet to find anybody who has the same model that we have at this point. I have been approached by one other hospital that was down in Texas and with some interest in what we were doing. I shared some information with them and haven't heard back, so I'm not sure where that went for them. There were a couple of hospitals in California that had sizable gardens at one point that are no longer maintained, from what I understand.
And as far as the realities of applying a program such as this, the economic realities, what are you finding as far as it balancing out versus what you paid for before?
This is not a money saver, but it's not really costing us more. Essentially, what we've done is we've taken what we were spending on produce through Cisco and put it into Isaiah's salary. So it's become a wash. The benefit is that we have the best tasting produce that we're going to get, the freshest tasting produce possible. Tomatoes like you can't imagine. They are wonderful. And the ability to cook fried green tomatoes like we did just the other day. So,
which has tremendous health benefits. And I mean, the long-term economics of that strategy seems like it would balance out.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Eco News Report. This is Dan Ayersman. Our guests here today are Todd Hustis and Isaiah Webb with the Mad River Community Hospital's Vegetable Garden. I was reading on the hospital's website of the connection to the Potawatomi Food Garden, and maybe Isaiah could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Potawatomi has been tremendously helpful since the beginning of our program, even before I was the farmer there, but especially since I've come on, you know, they've been great with giving advice, loaning equipment. It's great for me. This is the first time I've managed a farm. So for me, they're right next door, so I can wander over and just sort of check in and say, hey, I was kind of thinking of doing this. Have you guys already done this, or are you doing this time of year? Or how is your this or that looking? You know, I can kind of just go and check in. It's, you know, see how they're doing, because they're there. They've been there for years. They're established. They kind of have their procedures and the policies and the things that they found have worked for them. And so I came in with some ideas of how I wanted to do things, but can always just go over there, and they always have time to talk and, you know, let me know what varieties they're growing, or how things are doing for them, or if they've had a certain pest problem, or, you know, just always available whenever I have questions or looking for a little bit of advice. And it's just, they've been tremendously helpful. We've done a couple collaborations as far as at the end of the season, we like to have a volunteer appreciation potluck dinner, and we always invite them to join us for that and just kind of celebrate, you know, local farming and all of our great volunteer help and just have a good time.
That's great. What, given that this is Thanksgiving, what has been your favorite crop, the most exciting thing of this past year and getting onto the table?
Tomatoes. Hands down, the tomatoes, you know, vine ripe tomato. I come from Chico, where you could grow a great tomato outside. And over here, you can't find a great tomato. Yeah. Isaiah's tomatoes, they're the best.
And it's hard to do that on the coast, even in a greenhouse.
Yeah. They really are. sweet, almost like an apple.
I think for me, that's a tough question because there's so many things that are good for different reasons. But I think for me, it's got to be winter squash. Something about the fact that you harvest it all at once, but it stores for such a long time. But it's nice to this time of year, the pile of it that's in the greenhouse, just sort of staring at that much piled up food, and just sort of you feel wealthy. You're just like, wow, you know, like I worked all season and I wasn't eating it all along, but now I have this big pile of food that's going to last into winter when things slow down and, you know, it kind of the overall variety diminishes. But that's one thing that I personally really enjoy, and it's just great to see that. You know, you feel a little secure in having that stash of food.
And it is an awesome pile. I wish we could show a picture here.
We can post it on our website.
Okay, we'll have to get one to you.
All right, great. So as we're reaching the end of the program here, are there any ways that you can suggest for folks to get involved or otherwise support the program?
So we're always looking for volunteers, maybe not so much this time of year, but certainly come springtime. We're also more than willing to give tours Monday through Friday, you know, basically 9 to 5. If you'd like to come out and see the farm, please do. It's on the back of the hospital. If you just turn in where the emergency room is and drive all the way back,
cool.
You can see the greenhouses from there.
All right. And can anybody come out and volunteer or start?
Anybody can volunteer. What they need to do is go through our volunteer services. They can get to that at the madriverhospital.com website. There's a volunteer application there that'll go to our volunteer coordinator, and I believe they have to take a single TB test, and then they're free to come out and volunteer in the farm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Also, just to add to that last, you know, all the food that we grow is served in the hospital cafeteria, and it is open to the public. Welcome people to stop by and try one of our meals with the food that we're growing.
Hmm. So anybody can just come on down and start mowing on actually good hospital food.
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome people awesome. To come try it for themselves.
Cool. Perfect.
Most of it's all been grown here, and prices are very reasonable.
That's awesome. Well, appreciate it so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, this has been the Eco News Report. My name is Dan Ehrsman, and I've been your host for the past half hour. My guests today have been Isaiah Webb and Todd Eustace. Thank you both for being here very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for having us, Dan.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the public affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. Previous shows are posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at urnac.org. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the Eco News Report.